Actually, I think that we can start. I don't think that... I mean, if Bart will join, he'll join later. I don't think that's... I mean, since we're so few, it's not much we can do today anyway. But, Keith, I just wanted to let you know that you might have seen in the email that I sent out that I was asking for volunteers for a chair. And Katrina has volunteered, and she's the only volunteer. So what I do after this call is I send out an email to everyone and suggest that we elect Katrina as chair. I guess we're too few to do something about it today, but unless you object.
No, I think absolutely no objection. Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll send out an email just so that, you know, everyone is, I don't think anyone will mind, but just for a formal reason, let's appoint Katrina as chair. And the second point is, Keith, did you have a chance to read or look at the papers that I sent out?
Yes, I have.
You have? Yes. Well, just to give you an update, because actually I've been working a little bit with Katrina in the background just to kick off the work as soon as possible. As you can see that we kind of made a wish list of things that we would like. We're just talking about the voting tool right now because that is a big problem. So we kind of did a wish list of what we think the voting tool should do. Did you have a look at that?
Yeah, I do. That was the sort of
Katrina paper.
Katrina put together. Yeah, no, that looks good. I couldn't really fault that in any way. I mean, I think that's fine. I guess look, my biggest issues, I think, in the whole thing are probably less to do with the mechanism of voting and more to do with
the guidelines, I guess.
Well, yeah, and the processes and procedures. I mean, I think, for one thing, you know, having a clear list of who the contact person is to vote for CCTLDs as a sort of listed thing as part of the CCNSO website wouldn't be a bad thing. For one thing, it's open and transparent, and secondly, we vote on, I guess, more than just the election. So, you know, kind of, so that there's a clear differentiation between the CCNSO membership and the IANA database. I think clarifying that would be kind of cool because most people that I spoke to during the last election process thought that when they'd updated their IANA record, they were effectively updating their CCNSO record as well, and that's obviously not the case. So.
No, that's a very common misunderstanding. Weirdly enough, especially in the Asia Pacific region, I'm not sure why, but especially that region, I've noticed that many people have believed that more than in other regions. And I'm talking more about especially about the islands. Weirdly enough, that's what I've noticed. I'm not sure why it's concentrated on the Asia-Pacific region, especially the Pacific Islands, but I've noticed that very, very often there as well. Keith, this is actually somehow a little bit linked to the voting mechanism that we were talking about, because if you will look at it, Katrina is suggesting actually that there will be some kind of function where the members themselves can update their primary contact.
Yeah.
And then there's another question of making it public. I mean, we do not publish our primary contacts because when we're asking for them, it's our database, and we do not hand out our database, first of all. And secondly, when we ask for the contact person, for the CCNSO contact person, we have never said that we will, you know, publish it anywhere. This is why we do not publish it. I have nothing against publishing, you know, a list of just the names of who's our primary contact is. I think that we can publish that on our website, for instance, that where we have the members listed. But I would not publish the contact details because...
No. I'm not suggesting for a moment that you would want to publish their email or even physical address. It's more So that there is a place to go where people can say, ah, yes, that's right, I am the voting person, I am registered as the voting person for Internet NZ or whatever. So
yeah.
that clarity that would help. So again, you know, maybe one of those things where you have to raise it with the members and give them the opportunity to opt in or opt out or whatever, and if they choose to want to keep it secret, then they probably can, but, you know, by and large, I think people would be quite relaxed. But
just to say that in some cases, it's actually a small problem because they do not have a physical person as their primary contact. It's a generic email address, like such as admin@registry.xy.
Yeah, but that's all right too. If it's Mr. Admin, that's fine.
Then we can just write out administrative, you know, address or something. But so you suggest basically that we publish the list of names on somewhere in the website. I mean, that's an option. The other option is, as Katrina, I think, also mentioned that there should be a way where they can go and check their contacts themselves and update them themselves. Because my whole point is that I would like to outsource the entire responsibility on the members actually to keep track of, you know, that, because at the moment it's always, I always have to check and change and et cetera, and people get upset. It's easier to, if they have the responsibility for it. But just so you know, because so we developed this, or Katrina developed this, but we're discussing it together, and I actually forwarded this wish list to ICANN's IT department, the ones that are dealing with the voting mechanisms, and I asked, can you do this? And if you can do it, you know, how fast can you do it? And if you can't do it, but we find someone else who can do it, would you pay for it? And so on. And I had a call with two of them 2 days ago, and they were very negative about our list. They said that's not possible because there's no way that they will give up, because our thinking was to hand out one password to every member that they have to keep track of themselves, and they said that's not secure enough, and they will not do it, and any other suggestion, it boils down to this thing that I will have as much work as I have already. So they were very much against it, what I said was, okay, I will discuss with this committee, and we will have another call later, and then Katrina or someone else will probably join. I was just saying this is their reaction to that. And I know, Katrina, you don't agree. I'm just kind of reporting.
No, I don't, really. No, actually, of course, it would be interesting to see or hear their arguments. The way you told them, I really do not see where the problem is. Well, the only problem I can see is that definitely they do not want to work and implement a system that would suit our needs and improve our efficiency.
Yeah, but they were declaring that they're very interested in helping us and making stuff easier for us, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, that's fine, but, you know, the way it's currently working, it doesn't work for us. Mm-hmm. And then we started talking about, because we have currently, we have a database, it's a CRM database, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the other outcome was that the person... one of these people, he was going to go and check whether we could make this database kind of available for every member, that they somehow, that they would be able to update it to the database, because that would already help us somehow. He was going to go away and check this, so he hasn't come back to me yet. So he will check whether that's possible. That would be a... But then we have another weird problem, Keith, and that's that actually many of our members, especially from the smaller registries, I'm not sure how technically skilled they are, because they sometimes seem to have problems to even read an email. So I don't know how much, you know, it would, you know, technical skills it would involve to update your own database. I have no clue, but I'm not sure this will be a good solution either.
I mean, you're right. I think, yes, as you get further and further out to the smaller Pacific countries and so on, you really, everything that you do needs to be spelt out for them. I mean, I know that through having to, or you're having organised the Pacific IGFs and other things, you really have to do all the work for them and give them the opportunity to say yes or no, and that's about it. it's really hard. But, so there is that. But, part of that problem arises because we have this threshold of, a majority of countries voting. And I wonder whether that's necessary anymore or whether you just have a simple majority, this sort of threshold of at least half the countries in the region. We get a lot of countries who don't care. I mean, they belong to ICANN. They are belonging to ICANN and the CCNSO for various reasons, mainly probably to remain connected as the appropriate CCTLD manager for that CCTLD. So they don't care about voting and things. It's a hassle to them. They don't care who's on the council or not. So, we devised this voting system when we were struggling to get four members per region. And now, we've got 40 members in APT.
134.
Yeah, but 40 in AP region.
Yeah, okay.
And 20 having to vote. I just question whether that's still relevant or whether you shouldn't just have, the simple majority of those who vote decide the winner.
I personally would totally agree on that. I can see that as well, dealing with the voting. That you can see which registries are active in CARE and they vote normally, and then the rest is just really, I can see that it's squeezed out of. So I think this problem will be much bigger the more members we get. So I would sign up on that. Actually, another thing that Katrina suggested, just as a helping tool, which I think might be quite interesting as well, is she said Katrina, you should perhaps present it, but I thought it was good, the graphic introduction to the voting process.
Yes.
Katrina, can you?
Yeah, sure. as soon as we identify if we're going to change, how the voting process will look, I can do some graphical illustration of that, and then we'll give to some designers to make it beautiful and easy to read and easy to understand.
That would be for the small registries.
for those who probably, we're not going to translate the process into many languages, so those who probably have problems with English or whatever, they just can look at pictures and follow very simple steps. Just explain them.
Keith, I'm just thinking this. The thing with the majority voting, I think, I didn't check this, but I think that would be set in the bylaws, right?
It is.
The ICANN bylaws, yeah. So we would have to, I'm not sure whether that would require PDP actually to change that in the ICANN bylaws.
I don't. I think it's a question that's probably worth asking on the way through. I mean, I don't think we'd say that we've exhausted the review process if we didn't ask that question, just given that, I don't think even in our wildest dreams we ever imagined having, 130-plus CCTLD managers or CCTLDs represented in the CCNSO. We always thought it was going to be, if we were lucky, 40 or 50.
Yeah.
So, times have changed, and I think if there was a feeling, I mean, yeah, it's worthwhile raising the question as part of this group, and if there was a feeling in the CCNSO and discussion that it's worth reviewing, then we whatever it takes, whether it's a PDP or whatever, is worthwhile. I guess the other thing in all of that too is whether the regions remain all that relevant or not. We drew the lines for the CCNSO regions as a kind of a way to ensure that we had geographic diversity, but I think now with the NOMCOM and other things, we get that diversity whether we like it or not, you know. So do we have to worry about rules about boundaries for the purposes of voting?
It's interesting because Katrina raised this question as well. We were discussing this a little bit about the regions. And I think that's worth bringing up because, as I point out, it's a bit weird. For instance, in the North American region, there are just four members, and it's always a hassle to have them voting because they forget. They're so few, and, you know, so you have the North American region versus the Asia-Pacific region where there's 40 members. It's quite interesting. So I think maybe, yes, you're right, the question about the regions should be looked into as well.
Yeah, well, then you've got all the other issues. I mean, you could argue, too, that, like, between Germany and UK, there's over half the registrations of CCTLDs in total. Mm-hmm. So why shouldn't they have more representation at board level than, you know, New Zealand?
You mean council level?
I think everyone buys solidly into the idea of one CCTLD, one vote, but I'm not sure that maintaining the historic demarcation lines of regions is actually very relevant. Again, it was one of those things that in order to get the CCNSO up and running in the first place, we thought that we needed to have the four members in each of the five regions to get us up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And Europe looked like the area that wasn't going to comply with that for a very long time. And then finally we achieved that threshold and away we went. But is it still relevant, you know, given the spread now? And, you know, should it be... I think there would be nothing wrong with taking that question to the members and seeing how strong the feeling is now about those lines. I mean, one of the prime reasons we maintain the geographic boundaries are because of the regional CCTLD organisations like APTLD and CENTRE, you know. Again, it's not really relevant to the business of the CCNSO, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking then, is it relevant to keep all the numbers of councillors as well then? Because I understand that then it wouldn't matter where the councillor would be from, for instance. Do we have to be 18 councillors then?
Well, that again, I mean, that's getting off the topic of the elections themselves to a degree, but to me it seems like a very awkward number. Anything above 12 or below 30, or between 12 and 30, is an awkward number to organise. So, and it's never a particularly cohesive number in the numbers game, you know, something like 18 or 20 people. So a reduction to, you know, a dozen people might be more appropriate, but I don't know, you know, we've been through the process of building the numbers and, you know, having NOMCOM seats and so on. But, you know, maybe the time's come that you sort of say, well, No, it's we just have an open election amongst the CCs, and you know, the best polling candidates win, and we use the NomCom to fill the gaps to ensure the geographic diversity, cultural diversity, and so on.
I mean, we could perhaps ask the NOM, we could, this is just a brainstorming suggestion, but since there are five regions, and we could perhaps, you know, have five NOMCOMs instead and then seven non-NOMCOMs, I mean, then we could ensure the one NOMCOM from each region, for instance, and then the seven would be just, you know, best men.
Yeah. No, it's certainly possible. I mean, there's not a lot of rationality for why we did the things that we did, other than that was what people seemed to agree to. You know, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Well, it was just a base from which to start, and so for us to cling tenaciously to that base for no other reason than that's what got us started, sort of probably isn't the right approach. So, yeah, I don't know.
No, I think you brought up issues that I haven't thought of. I know that Katrina has thought of some of them.
It's definitely worth discussing and bringing
these
issues up.
Yeah, and look, I've got no strong opinion on any of it, other than thinking, well, you know, we've got an opportunity to challenge our traditional thinking, so let's challenge it. And yeah, I like what the two of you have done. I think you've got all the other bits, the actual the voting technical aspects quite well covered. But this is more the broader philosophy of representation that has been sort of nagging away at me a little bit. So, yeah, I don't know. If you're happy, I think can we expand to include those issues?
I mean, I'm not the chair, so Katrina, I'm not the chair. Well, you are. You just consider yourself chair. So,
other members agreed.
I've been taking a little bit of notes here, and I mean, what I see is there are kind of three aspects that we need to look into, and I think that we should start perhaps from the broadest aspect with the representation issue, which you were talking about, which includes the regions, number of councillors, whatever. And I think that should be clarified first of all. And then we should look at the guidelines and, I guess, the bylaws as well. And then in the end, we should look at the actual voting tool to, you know, make it happen what we decided before. Do you agree?
No disagreement from me.
Chair?
Yeah, I do. As I said, yeah, I think it's a very good plan and it sounds reasonable. Yeah, because we started looking into the issue and we discovered that there's much more in it than we initially thought.
Yeah. So,
It's probably worth the chair talking to Leslie about it too before we get too far down the track or involved in too much work, just to make sure she's not unhappy that we walked down these paths. She may have some other reasons to not want to start opening various cans of worms if there are some, and she may be more familiar with some other little aspects that are worrying some CCTLDs that we know nothing about. So probably not a bad idea to bounce it off her before we start making any noise in a public forum.
Another aspect is actually that this group is called the Election Guidelines Review Working Group. So I'm actually not sure that we have the scope for dealing with these things, so we might have to bring it up with the council as well to widen our scope if Leslie agrees.
Exactly. Well, anyway, before bringing it public, we have to discuss it with other councillors.
Yes, I don't think that we actually have the... We call the Election Guidelines Review Working Group. So we were meant to look at the election guidelines. Whilst I think it's useful to look at the background to that, the, you know, what me. So I think that, yes, if you could bring it up with Leslie and see if that's okay, and then perhaps at the next council call, if the council could agree on widening the scope a little bit.
Well, first of all, it must be a voting review, voting process review, not just election, because we vote.
Not just election guidelines, because that's what it's called. So, yes. So, what I will do is I took a few notes. I will, you know, summarize them and send out to everyone. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I will send it to you first, Katrina, so you can review them and see if I'm, you know, did miss something or did something wrong. And then when you approve them, I will send them out. And then I think our problem is that we actually have quite a tight timeline for, especially if we want to have such a broad scope. So I'm wondering how often we could meet.
Well, you know me, I'm always available except at the times that we say that we're going to meet.
Yeah.
No, I've got reasonable amounts of time. Yeah, I'm reasonably animated by this topic, so I'm happy to meet as often as it needs to be discussed.
Yeah, I can adjust my schedule as well, so...
I was thinking that at the latest we should meet in 2 weeks. The problem is I'm on holiday then, but that's not a problem. I can still dial in. that's fine. Because since we were just two today, and I really think we have to kick up really soon with this work, I wonder, do you think that you would be available next time this week? Next week this time?
Yep.
Yes, I am, yeah.
So I'll send out the suggestion to the... we have an email from Stockholm now. Let's see here.
Oh, wait a minute. It's February 1st. I must be at court.
Oh, okay. Stockholm. Okay. So, you know, Stockholm is... Just a sec. Can you hold on for like 5 more minutes, then Stockholm will join us? Because he just sent out a dial-out request to Christina, which she hasn't seen, which he now forwarded to me. So Stockholm will... Sorry, I'm just asking the operator to dial in Stockholm, and then we can just summarize everything for him. Yeah, so the operator is dialing in Stockholm right now. I just got this email now. So then at least we're majority on the call. So let's try next week. Let's hope it will work for everyone. Have another call.
Yeah, it would probably suit me better an hour later next week.
Later, Chris, Katrina, how would that work for you?
Friday?
Yes.
Friday, oh, sorry, 10 at...
That would be 1 hour...
The court won't be over. 1 hour later I can, but I probably can. I'm not sure. It depends on how long the court is going to last.
Oh, you have a court case. Oh, yes. Then good luck.
No, that's not with me. We're just there's one trademark issue, and we're just like a third person. We must be there, give our explanations. But
okay.
So it's not against us, but... But anyway, I got this invitation, so to speak. So I must be there.
Would it be better than 2 hours later? Would that give you clear time in between?
Yeah, sure. But that's 11 p.m. for you.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I would struggle to make it back from another commitment by 10 p.m., but I could easily do it by 11 p.m., so that would be really cool.
Okay. What time will it be for Young'em? She should be able to do it too, right?
She's Korea, she'll be 4 hours. She'll be 7 p.m.
Oh, that should be okay with her. So, yeah, 11, I can just make it. I have a call after that, but that we should be ready by then. So, 11, I'll send out a message about that too. But, okay, so I had a message from the operator that there's no answer for Sokol. Please keep on trying. I emailed him as well, and I said there's no answer, so let's wait for another minute, and if he doesn't reply, then we just hang up.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Checking on the operator. Okay, there's still no answer, so we just give it up, and I just send out the email, and I'll make the notes now, Katrina, send them to you, and you just review them, and then I'll send it out. It's just a summary of today's call, and let's hopefully meet next week then at 11, because I really think we need to start this going as soon as possible.
We need the other two on the call.
Yes. So if they can't, then we will have to reschedule. But I will try to.
Yeah.
I will try to find a time which everyone can join. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Here next week, hopefully.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week. Yeah, probably.
See you next week.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.